You are now listening to EP&T Podcast, an ongoing series of conversations with field experts in electronics design and engineering. This podcast is being presented by EP&T Magazine, Canada's information leader for the electronics industry. I'm your host, Stephen Law, editor of EP&T Magazine. Hello, EPT readers, and welcome to this podcast. My guest for this episode is Chris Walker of Untether AI, a Toronto-based artificial intelligence semiconductor startup. The firm is currently developing a powerful new AI chip that eliminates the data movement bottleneck that costs energy and performance in traditional architectures. Installed as the firm's chief executive officer and board director this January, I welcome Chris Walker to this podcast.
Fantastic to be with you. Thanks so much.
Chris, thanks for being with us. And maybe to get things started, you could provide our listeners with a little background on how Untether AI came about and how you would define what the company is developing these days.
Yeah, we were founded here in Toronto about 5 years ago under the basic idea that as AI comes into view, as AI, comes out into the world and reaches us every day, and what we call inference. So it's basically the running of the running of AI out in the real world, that to do that at scale, to do that at impact for all of us, it also had to be done with an eye towards efficiency. And that, AI today is developed, trained, and run on, in many cases, an architecture and a GPU architecture that's decades old. And, right product at the right time, or when AI models were just starting to come in, but inherently has some inefficiencies, especially around how data moves around and the energy that's consumed out of that. So we were founded on the basis of, for this to be real, to make this actually happen, we had to attack that energy issue. We had to attack the inefficiency and come out with a different way to reduce those bottlenecks, make it easier for us to all enjoy the benefits of AI, and at the same time, do it in a way that wasn't consuming tons and tons of power.
So Untether AI's technology promises significant advancements in AI acceleration. Could you explain how your chip architecture differs from traditional approaches and its potential impact on electronic engineering?
What we do is called at-memory compute, and we have an array of over 1,400 processors together with memory in an array, spatial array on the chip. And where that differs is we put the memory and the compute together where it matters the most for speed and accuracy. And what that does in contrast to traditional GPU-based architectures is it dramatically reduces the amount of work and energy consumption that's done of moving data from external memory, through what are a couple of bottlenecks in traditional architectures into the computation where the real action happens. And so by saying, well, let's start with memory and let's put the memory and the compute together and then architect out the efficiency and how you go network between the individual chips and then move data around, we can see upwards of an 80-90% reduction in some of that power that's wasted by pushing data through bottlenecks. Instead, we put the data and compute together, and then we more effectively pull external data as necessary into it. And especially as we look at AI and things like visual networks, or where people want to put multiple network types together, we find that efficiency is a huge game changer.
I'm curious as to know what specific challenges did the Untether AI team encounter during the development process and how are they overcome? Now, I do appreciate that you are a fairly new hire here, so you may not have been privy to all of that, but I'm hoping you might be able to shed some light.
No, there's a great, intact team that's been, together for 3 or 4 years. I mean, first and foremost is shouldn't forget that, we're a startup that grew and brought out first generation chip and started designing the second generation chip all through the pandemic. So I think it won its, great hurdle and challenges, hiring, ramping, forming as a team, and executing all, in a hybrid first virtual environment. So, it hasn't been that long ago that, we were all struggling with, you know, how would we work and how would we get things done? And so to see a company go from 30-ish people to 100 plus, you know, during that time is the first thing. But I think back to the architecture, you know, the main thing that we've done is twofold, is, you know, design some very innovative ways of putting the compute and memory together, and also how the data moves around the chip. Now, we often like to talk about AI and acceleration in terms of silicon and hardware. But equally, if not more important, one of the things that we've done is in this kind of spatial array architecture, it solves some of the challenges in programming it and the software support. So it's no secret that most of the world's AI models are developed in NVIDIA architecture and trained on it. What we wanted to do is make sure we focused on a software development kit and a tool chain that enabled models to be trained one place and deployed on us more efficiently. Or for people who are developing new models, particularly in open source, and we're huge believers in open source, and that's got a lot of momentum, to be able to effectively develop in our software as well and make that easy for customers. So, you know, one of the key architectural things that we do is software as much as hardware, and making those two marry up nicely in a way that's effective for our customers.
Keeping in turn with that statement, can you elaborate on some of the real world applications of Untether AI's technology, in particular fields such as autonomous vehicles or IoT devices?
In kind of the new industry 4.0, there's a need for vision networks to be very fast, highly accurate, and done at a kind of a cost per watt that makes sense. In some cases, the application is form factor constrained, and so the customer is looking to put 5-6x more computational power in one footprint. So they need that focus on energy efficiency. Couple examples. In an industrial setting, we're making things, semiconductors included, at very, very small scales. And so the ability to do visual inspection as the product's moving through the line, you know, for quality assurance, that all requires things that, one, you can't put up in the cloud. It needs to move at the pace of manufacturing. In some cases, what we do actually increases the pace of manufacturing and accuracy. So customers will look at, you know, metal inspection and how can they use the vision networks that we support to do that at very fine grain levels of detail. In the future, you know, more autonomous driving in automobiles, people talk about level 4, that's a little further off, right? It's been around the corner for a while, but it's a little further away. And we're engaged with, you know, multiple different companies in the auto sector to help enable that vision and that promise of, you know, more hands-off and fully autonomous vehicles. But before we even get to that, what's become really interesting is areas like agricultural technology. In this case, you have some levels of automation and autonomous driving that we kind of dream of in cars, but is available in the fields today. And at the same time, there's very cool ways that companies are using technology to do things like weed and do pesticide deployment at very, very precise amounts, which one lowers the overall impact, or maybe eliminate that and do things in with lasers as an example for weeding. So now you've got an application where the tractor operates autonomously and you're doing multiple other aspects that require speed and precision all at once. And we're particularly good at accelerating those kind of workloads, allowing customers to bring multiple networks and data types and capabilities together in one chip or one application form factor. And so those are some areas that you might not expect when you hear about autonomous vehicles or driving, is that we're an ingredient, we're a hardware enabler that can help people be more productive and lower, you know, maybe the environment footprint and impact of farming by using more advanced technologies. So that's kind of really cool things that are very close and present that we're engaged with and particularly excited about.
Well, if those lasers are effective with dandelions, I'd like to have one of them ride on lawnmower, I can tell you that. Curious, so how does Untether, your company's approach to AI inference acceleration differ from existing solutions in the market? And what advantages does it offer in terms of performance, efficiency, and scalability?
Yeah, one of the key things, as I described on Tether AI's advantage, is doing this thing we called at-memory compute. So by dramatically reducing data movement in the bottlenecks, we can achieve higher levels of performance, throughput, all at the same time reducing the energy consumption needed. As an example, in kind of vision networks that we were just talking about, that could be a 6 to 8x improvement over traditional GPU-based architectures. In the future, as we do AI in more generative or language model solutions in things like data centers or as enterprises adopt it, the big improvement can be in compute density, meaning in the same amount of server space you've dedicated, as we want to accelerate new workloads with AI, we can dramatically improve that up to 8x. What does that mean? It means that not only do you need less, you know, cards, less upfront cost to do it, when you run it, when you operate it day in, day out, it's done at a lower power consumption and a lower energy usage. And why that's really important is if you look at future trends, today data centers use about maybe 2% of the world's electricity. At the current run rate that we want to deploy these new models and tools, and with no major change in the architecture and the efficiency, that could grow up to 15%. That's certainly not a trajectory that will enable the future and the vision we want. So something does have to change in that. And that's where we feel architectural approaches such as ours really come in and help enable the promise of what generative AI solutions can be.
Is there one tangible benefit that you feel designers will in Canada will really be drawn or attracted to with this technology?
I think really that that efficiency is something that designers or, you know, people who deploy, and that's a, you know, important part in Canada, is to really be on the forefront of adopting these new tools and technologies, be risk takers and look at your business, look at how it can be improved with some of these new techniques. You know, for us, as people are designing, whether it's enterprise level projects or, you know, specific industry or edge applications, our kind of technology can actually enable you to do things you couldn't do before. So the kind of images you can process off of multiple high-def streams and cameras in real time becomes much more impactful when you can do object detection at a very, very precise and finer grain. This gets people thinking about, well, how do I reimagine my application? How do I imagine the use cases? And so kind of hand-in-hand working with our, you know, system integrator partners to try the technology, to understand what's changing, kind of opens the aperture of what's possible. And so, you know, people who are thinking about applications or how AI could impact their business or their product should think in terms of, well, what happens when I get these, you know, 5-6x game changers of what's available to me at much lower power levels. It starts to create new ideas for how they could deploy the technology that they maybe couldn't do today with today's technology.
Are you able to discuss any collaborations or partnerships on Tether AI has formed within the electronic engineering industry, and how do they contribute to advancing your technology?
We partner in a few different ways. One is just on the delivery of our product. We work with companies on how we design our, you know, test infrastructure, our final board products, that card products that we deliver to our customers. That collaboration is typical in the hardware ecosystem. And, you know, some of those companies are here in Canada and most largely in North America. In addition, we partner with and collaborate with customers around the world in the industrial, automotive, aerospace type of applications where we work with them on the software. What are they seeing? What do they want to do in their neural networks? We have an infrastructure where we can run it on, you know, today's chips or simulated the future chips and start doing that development with them real time. So they can see, here, run this model. What's your performance? Then they might iterate on top of that. And those are things that, you know, could be designs that are a year away or could be designs, you know, 3+ years away. But it takes that much time to engage and have, you know, true collaboration to make those happen. And that's really always the interesting part is you start, you know, with your own ideas of the product and what you want to achieve. But it's really when you engage with customers and partners and that you see the impact that it has, and it makes us better in terms of what we need to do in terms of our customer support, network development, tools and flows to make it easy for them. It's an iterative and collaborative process to make it happen.
Chris, with the increasing demand for AI-driven solutions, what strategies does Untether AI employ to stay ahead of the competition and continually innovate?
Technology and AI in particular, the rate and pace that things happen, always have to be looking and disrupting yourself. One is in our own employee base and talent base, it's the new ideas and perspectives that come in as we continue to grow and hire from people coming in from academia, from different ML practices in software, people who have done different levels of hardware programs. That's one that we're always a learning organization and, you know, integrating new talent and new ideas. The other is, you know, continuing to future cast and talk with customers about what their future needs would be. So we have a roadmap of products that goes out, you know, multiple years that either extends the current product line or will reinvent it going forward. An interesting development in how technology is developed, and I think in terms of how companies will collaborate, is this thing called chiplets. So today, most silicon or products like ours are developed at a silicon level that then gets put in a package that gets put in a board. What chiplets do is almost Lego style, a lot harder than that, but allows standard space for a customer to design and think about their system or what they want to achieve with multiple different components in one package. These are some techniques that have been done in the mobile industry where I come from on the semiconductor side for a bit now. But now that the standards are being established, and we're a member of one of those consortia, UCIe, so a chiplet interconnect, and being at the forefront of that, standards, working with others on how they want to imagine their products and bring it together really helps you stay, you know, one, cutting edge, and two, enable people to achieve what they want and not have to do the whole solution ourselves, but do our piece extremely well in a more flexible design way that can enable new applications, new way of bringing different best of the best together. And Tether AI being one of those best of the best in terms of inference acceleration really opens the door for new applications, new deployments as chiplets come in.
Well, today, certainly security and privacy are critical concerns in AI technology, particularly such issues as bias and transparency. How does Untether AI address these matters in its chip design and implementation?
Yeah, first and foremost, for Untether AI, we're about the deployment of the AI technology and inference acceleration. We don't do the training part. But for certain, as we do our own development, as we look at what could be or should be the use of generative AI tools internally, we look at the source of data. We look at what the, you know, what the model performance has been based on. And so that's something that any company using or any person using the tools should have an awareness on. And then in our own practices, we're of course very sensitive. And one of the key things that we enable is in many cases, we won't see the customer's model. We enable them to develop and we can kind of firewall or segment that out where they can keep their information proprietary. They can keep their networks their own, and they may run it on our chip, but we won't necessarily see that model. And so that's a way, in terms of working with our customers, we've been able to work on our software in such a way that we can do work on proxy models, and then they can do the deployment on their own proprietary information, and we enable that so that we don't have to take that in. And so that's a way that we respect and can engage with our customers on their privacy terms.
Makes sense, for sure. Given that, what role do you see your firm playing in shaping the future of AI-driven electronic devices, and how do you anticipate the industry evolving in the coming years?
I think it's a really special time for AI and untethered AI in particular, as the world's moving from just the training and getting AI developed to actually making it happen. And for us, we think our role is being that accelerating ingredient, to be that partner of choice, to enable others' dreams and applications. And for us, you know, we shape that in a way that we think is going to be responsible for the world in terms of energy consumption and usage. And that we believe is very impactful and absolutely necessary for this to come about. We see, you know, we're a startup. We see the spirit of innovation, the spirit of choice and disruption, where, you know, things have been dominated by one big player. It's a very big market. There's a lot of room for that. And we think we've got a great position or role to help our customers differentiate from a standardized solution where it's only been one vendor. And being a part of our customer success is really how I see us playing in the future, and what I think our role is as well.
We're getting down to the final couple of questions here, Chris. What, if you could share with our listeners what some of the major milestones and achievements Untether AI has reached since its inception, and what upcoming developments are you particularly excited about?
So 5 years young, one of the big things is, you know, growing to 170 person organization, how we work together as a team, how we work, you know, here in Canada. And especially, you know, it's really fun to seeing, you know, our co-ops and student participation in making all this happen. And that's, I think, something that's very unique and cool about University of Toronto and University of Waterloo, how that integrates into us as a company. I think the big milestones have been, we brought our first generation product to market that proved the benefits of at-memory computation in our architecture. We're now this year going to be bringing out our second generation Speed AI product line. And that takes another step forward in power, performance, and the next evolution of at-memory compute, and really defining that for the market. It's a huge milestone for us, together with the software that integrates that into a product solution for customers. And then going forward over the next 2 years, being able to rapidly grow off of that base and support markets anywhere from enterprise data center to automotive in a chiplet approach, that kind of Lego-like approach that we talked about, is the next major milestone for us to reach new levels of scale. So super excited about Speed AI product line. It's actually, you know, imminently coming in our lab, that being able to sample and work with customers this summer on it, and then, you know, seeing the scale start happening at the end of the year and into next year.
Good stuff. Finally, what advice would you give to an aspiring electronic designer looking to innovate in the AI space based on your experience leading Untether AI?
I think a big thing that I would always do is obviously continue to do the scan of what's new and exciting, Untether AI included. I think as we've learned and grown, there's an interesting mix if you're an electronics entrepreneur to bring in the perspectives of new disruptive technologies and thoughts, but also have a mix of balance of people who have done and you yourself have done at scale. And so that kind of mix of big company, small company, which I think we're a very good blend of. So I think that helps you kind of enable, but think about where you're going next. And that's essential to scale, not to be process heavy, but to be quality mindset. Those are things that anybody in the kind of the physical electronics, you know, space, highly sensitive to and is really key enablers. And the biggest thing is think about the joint integration of hardware and software in terms of that optimization, and look for areas that you can differentiate based on the underlying hardware as well. Who really enables you to do that?
Well, Chris, this has been a real pleasure chatting with you today, and we certainly hope our listeners have gathered a better understanding of Untether AI, in addition to the future of artificial intelligence and its incorporation into semiconductor development. Our guest for this podcast has been Chris Walker, CEO and board director at Toronto-based Untether AI. Chris, thank you so much for being with us here today.
It's been a real pleasure to be able to have this conversation. Thank you.
And thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in. Until next time, take care.